Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. My name is Matt Key, and today we're talking about Gambit. Maybe there's Gambit stuff. There's also some Runaways, some Black Panther stuff, and the new Punisher trailer. Sit right there, and we'll be right back with stuff.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Maybe saying like, oh, and we, like, Marquis and Koi and me will be right back. And then, like, I freaked myself out that I was going to say that grammatically incorrect.
Ah, so you went cycle
through. So, like, well, that was all going through my head. And I was like,
me, Marquis, and Koi.
Yeah, like, am I going to... And then I was like, but wait, am I the objective case or the subjective
case?
Because
that's going to determine... grammar in cold opens. I just say.
No, that's what's going through my head all the time.
Interesting. That's why my writing isn't grammatically correct. I type like I speak, and my texts are all like, Koi. So it's just... Yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah, and I'm the opposite side of that. I've had to do so much with grammar for so long that it's just like second nature. I understand.
No, and I'm typically the same, but in that one moment, I was like... Wait, Koi, Markia, and me, but it's I. I'll be right back, but... Yeah,
when I memorize dialogue, I have to take out the punctuation, because I don't think the way that punctuation works, so I have to retype everything flat, and then I can memorize, because I hate grammar.
All right, well, hey, everybody, welcome
to Grammar Talk.
Marvel yes. Grammar Talk. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 149, almost 150.
And we're all back.
150, yeah. We're all back. Coming to you live from Frank's Battle Van. Frank Castle's battle van. I thought that was a good place to tell
like
you where
that.
We're coming from.
We're helping him prep.
Yeah, we're helping him prep. On our show, we tell you all the news from all the studios, why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Also on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, or on Twitter at Marvel News PTN, or at The Popcorn Talk. Also on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Guys, if you'll tweet a link out to a show, I always mess this part up. I've been doing this for how many years, and I cannot get...
It's the 95% thing. It's yeah. You're right at the end, so you're like, I'm going to think
about
it.
Skip. Yeah. If you'll tweet a link out... if you'll tweet a link to our show with a message telling people about our chat and that we're live and they can come talk to us, Aunt Anthony in the booth will retweet you.
You got it.
I got it. I did it.
You got it.
I did it.
You found the English language. You cycled back through.
Dear bear. My name is Matt Key. My Twitter is at the Matt Key. We're joined by... as always, by Markia McCarty at MarkiaMcCarty.
Yeah.
Did I do it right?
It's spelled correctly.
Yes, it's spelled. Spelling bee champion, fourth grade.
Yeah, and just so that people know, I'm not being rude. It's we had a slight miscommunication with our social media, so I'm going through social media right now to try to see if we can do some shout-outs at the end of the show.
Because we had to talk to our Marvelites.
Yeah.
And we also got over there on the social, on the live chat, Koi Jandreau, at CoyJandreau.
And I am being rude, because I'm from Boston.
I believe it's pronounced Boston.
Boston kids.
There's a joke. We got Aunt Anthony in the booth, Colt Badeau tweeting from the Star Jammer, and Ollie's out this week. Ollie Dreamboat.
He's dreaming
out.
Somewhere.
Yeah. He's out in some boat dreaming somewhere. So as I've promised to Markia, anytime that we have exciting Black Panther news, which hopefully will be every week,
starting here,
we'll always
Eventually
start with Black
we should
Panther.
Have the trailer sometime.
Whenever
they get around to
November
it.
November 3rd, or 2 weeks before November 3rd. So
yeah, that's my guess. Like, my guess is like October 15th. Ish.
They like to drop stuff when other big things come out, so maybe they'll drop it the same day as Stranger Things. It's gonna be like, that's only a week and a half before, but...
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
2 weeks.
As long as it's sometime soon. Like, I'll take the next hour.
As long as it's within the next hour, we're okay. We're okay. Marquis is not going to murder anybody. As long as they drop it in an hour.
But you'll, fully leave the studio, though, to go watch it. Like, I know, just like, no, no,
yeah,
no.
I'll
okay,
be like,
guys.
No, I gotta go.
Oh, it dropped? Be right back. No, I won't. I'm going to go watch it 17 times. It's going to be a lot.
Well, if it dropped right this second, then I would do, like, reaction.
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. We'd do a reaction. And I would just sit there going, yeah, I've already seen it. Isn't it cool? Isn't it cool, guys? I've already seen it. I'm a cool guy because I've already seen it. So Black Panther international TV spots were released. They don't show any new footage, but they're still fun. It's exciting to go watch. But what is cool, so go watch those. Give it a chance. But maybe we missed something. Yeah. I don't think there was any new footage. I watched them a couple of times. I was like, I think I've seen all that. But...
Yeah.
I also saw the San Diego footage, so I might be confusing the stuff, and I didn't have a chance to cross-reference all the stuff. So,
well, from what I could see, there wasn't anything new, but it was like, it was still cool seeing
still cool.
International spots.
But what is cool is that the National Black Caucus, I believe, in the Congress, was shown some select scenes from Black Panther. Ooh. God, I forgot to write it down. Dude who writes for The Root wrote about what he saw in Congress. And his quote is, "The action is kinetic, like a mixture of Coogler's fight scenes from Creed and the manic bullet ballets from the Kingsman movies."
I love those scenes, man.
Like the Kingsman movie, I haven't seen the new one, but the first Kingsman movie was tremendous fun. Mm-hmm. And the action choreography in that is what makes that movie so good. Like, mm-hmm. all the characters, all this stuff, that's all fun. It's fine. Like, it's fun stories, you know. But it's the action sequences in that movie that make it so fun and unforgettable and, like, rewatchable.
Yeah, Matt Vaughn and Guy Ritchie have that very specific style together because they're, like, homies. And you can feel the flavor of that crazy kinetic energy. So if it's anything like that, we're in a good
And then, like, the stuff in Creed, like, how did they even shoot some of that stuff? Yeah. Like, in the... It like long, like those like long shots.
That final blow, unedited, like that final like punch in the ring, fall is beautiful.
It's like so like that combined. Like oh my god, like can't.
Which makes sense for like to his style of fighting. Like you'd want that ballet flavor of the cat plus the brutality of the panther. So it totally plays. Just saying. I'm just saying.
Right, Jim. So
I'm here all week.
So they showed four scenes. The scenes that they showed were. Two of the scenes that we've already talked about because they showed them in San Diego, but then, boom, Congress has seen more of this than we have.
That's, like, it says a lot about the movie that they're showing it to Congress.
Right? That's kind of cool, right?
Like, that's a high-stakes, really cool environment.
Yeah. But, so here's the scenes that they did show that we haven't seen. The action cuts to T'Challa and Killmonger squaring off in the sacred waters before both call up their nano suits. And according to this description, though, we've previously heard Killmonger's suit described as gold. Here, it's said to be red.
Maybe it was the light.
Yeah, maybe it was the light. Maybe they've changed it a little bit. I saw it as gold, but I don't know.
I don't know. I guess they'll just have to release the trailer so I can see.
In an hour, Marvel. We know you're listening to us.
Within the next 42 minutes.
Yeah. So that's exciting and fun. We already know that's happening, but, you know, it's a fun scene. Mm-hmm. But here's the bit that I'm excited about. Following that battle, they were shown a new scene where M'Baku challenges T'Challa in the same spot. His size advantage is noticeable. He also dons a white gorilla mask.
That's cool, man.
Like, but here's my thinking. Killmonger has challenged Black Panther to rule Wakanda. Black Panther beats him. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, done. Then M'Baku walks up and he's like, I challenge you next. And he's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Let's do it. I think that's cool. I'm excited to, like, God, like, just Black Panther looks amazing. I'm so mad that you haven't seen the trailer.
Yeah.
I think of it, like, multiple times a week, how upset I... Like, anytime there's Black Panther news that comes out, I'm like... Why did she miss the trailer? That's not right.
Life is not fair. I had to go to.
Life is not fair. You missed that trailer. All right. Before we leave Black Panther behind, Markia Koi, is there anything you want to say about it?
February can't come soon enough. It can because the year we're already flying by, but the movie can't come soon enough.
Yeah,
and this is, February 16th?
Something like that, yeah.
After that, May 3rd?
May 5th? Is Infinity War. Beginning of May.
And then it's like, oh my God.
And then Ant-Man and the Wasp is next.
And somewhere August, Punisher September, in the
somewhere around there, I think.
Punisher's just going to happen. That Beyonce drop.
We'll get to that.
Well, think about it this way. If you do like a military excursion, are you going to tell everybody when you're going to, you know? You're not going to tell them when D-Day happens. D-Day just happens.
No, you're going to...
P-Day? TP-Day? It gets worse.
Yeah, there's no real direction to go.
I'm gonna own it. I'm gonna own it.
That's also not a good.
I'm just saying.
It's fun for some TP day.
Castle's holiday. How about that? Castle day.
All right.
Castle.
A little vague.
Castle's European vacation. All right. Let's move on. Gambit. Exciting news about Gambit. Let me preface. This all comes from a site called Splash Report. I'm not too familiar with them, and I don't mean that as an insult to them. It's just the honest truth. I'm not familiar with them. They claim to have the movie plot details from at least the first few drafts of the film. We don't know where the film is at in development, so for all we know, this is actually the script that they currently have, but it's being rewritten, so we'll never see this version. I thought we should include it because it's fun. And it, if it tells us, like, if it gives us any news about what they're planning on, it's that's fun. That's exciting. So we thought we'd go over this real quick. Apparently, Remy LeBeau, played by Channing Tatum, is on trial in New Orleans, considered a huge security risk. We flash back to 25 years before, where he runs into master thief Luke LeBeau, runs into 8-year-old Gambit while doing a heist. He offers to take the mutant orphan under his wings, and he's raised alongside other strays that they all refer to as cousins, and he becomes like the superstar of the Thief Guild, as they call it. Remy LeBeau, Gambit encounters Belladonna Boudreaux while on the run from the police. Sparks immediately fly. Since Bella is also a fellow mutant, their love is directly prohibited by both families. Since the Boudreaux are sworn enemies of the LeBeau clan, deciding to unite the two sides, Remy offers to plan to have the two clans team up on a huge heist to profit both families, and then it goes awry. Oh man, I forgot to add in this last part. Anyway, there's a last part where in the future, like now in the present day, Gambit teams up with... I totally forgot to put that last part in. Gambit runs into or plans an Ocean's 11 style heist with other mutants.
And there's a villain teased, right?
I read
Mr. Sinister was mentioned.
Oh, that's right. Mr. Sinister is like he's the one who wants it.
The one like behind the scenes doing his like Emperor Palpatine thing.
Yeah.
About somebody who needs their own Telltale game where you don't realize you're a bad guy until the end.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. Yeah, all right, I'm gonna pull this up.
Cranston for Sinister, like he wants.
Oh my god.
Cranston said he wanted to play Mr. Sinister, which is I love that idea.
Yeah, he would be the best. So we've got that. I'm gonna pull up these movie details on my phone real quick. Everyone forgive me. Because it's really cool. Like, and I think it... No, I don't want to see a Lethal Weapon ad.
Yes, you do.
I said that just for you. all right, so here we go. Gambit is hired to do a job in Paris to steal something from the Louvre. It was apparently a test job to see if he still has it. Mysterious employer is revealed to be Mr. Sinister. He offers Gambit $40 million to recover a mysterious trunk that was stolen by the Boudreaux clan. It will be auctioned off during the yearly Thieves' Ball, where all the criminal organizations in the world meet up. New Orleans Mardi Gras celebration is a cover. Gambit decides to enlist a crew of mutants to pull off the seemingly impossible heist. That's it. They don't actually say who they are. I remember that incorrectly. We're prepared today, guys. We're super prepared.
I know.
But Mr. Sinister is exciting, and the fact that they recruit other mutants is also super fun.
Like, if it's real.
No, that's the thing. If it's real, like
it's written like someone like us was excited to.
Yeah,
write
where it's
about
like you know
Gambit.
What, it'd be great. This,
like this doesn't sound.
This happens and then this happens. Yeah.
Then oh my god, maybe Morlocks.
it just sounds like hopes. If it's true, it's all great.
Now, that being said, the way it's coming off is like someone who works at. Warner Brothers, which is where Donner Pictures is, or Fox, not Warner Brothers.
Fox is over there, yeah.
Fox, Donner used to be. Anyway, it sounds like an intern who worked at Fox read an early draft of the script and was like, you know what, they've moved on from that. I'm going to tell you what they were working with. And I do think like an Ocean's 11 heist movie is kind of awesome. With Gambit in the lead, George Clooney, like, so who do we want to be his Matt Damon? Just off the top of your head, I'm throwing this at
besides
you.
Besides Matt Damon.
Wait, do you mean like actor-wise?
And mutant-wise. So like we've got like, you know, Frank Ocean.
I want somebody smooth. Somebody cool.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba's awesome.
I don't know, but that's like, I'm trying to think of someone that could keep up with Gambit. And like Idris Elba's definitely like charm incarnate.
God, he could do everything.
He could play.
It's almost a shame Michael B. Jordan's already taken because he'd be a great wingman too.
It's hard because Gambit's characters are so C-listy.
Yeah.
Like, the Morlocks are all, like, interchangeable because the writing in the 90s was just like, what if they have the power of whatever we need in this panel?
Yeah. Oh, my God. What if Idris Elba played that mutant named Random? He was a Morlock and he eventually joined
the hands,
X.
Like, the crazy...
And his hands could form any sort of weapon that you needed. Like, he's like, I need 17 cannons on one arm.
Idris Elba's Mr. Strong. Or strong
guy. Oh, strong guy?
Strong guy. Guido? That's the name I was looking for. Strong guy.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know how good of a thief he would be.
But he'd be charming.
Because he's 12 feet tall and doesn't fit through doors.
Very distracting. But hey.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to play.
And he's got like those glasses on. He's like,
What about who else is like charming? Phantom X is like a poor man's Deadpool, but I like him.
Yeah, it's fun. And he has like the cool ship.
Yeah,
that he's like has a second brain.
Don't make
yeah.
any sense.
Oh, it's, it makes no sense.
Who's like
no
Phantom
sense.
X though?
He's got Idris Elba. Cool... Like, you'd be amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
I like that. Just because I'm Idris Elba. Yeah, no, he'd be perfect in like anything. But also, would he be Gambit's wingman? Or would
he's a
like,
star? He's
too
kind
big,
of his
he's
own.
He's too big of a grab at this point.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
Idris Elba as Bishop.
Who's the Idris Elba now? Well, yeah.
I mean, that's the dream.
I like that.
Live chat.
Yeah.
Thank you, live
I like
chat.
That.
That's
lot.
A dream.
I like
that's,
that a lot.
Let's go ahead and recast.
That's fantastic.
Throw some Idris Elba in there. Good call.
Oh,
that's,
my God,
wow.
Yes.
If they could get
well
Idris Elba
done.
For that.
Yeah. Damn. Would we want Deadpool as a part of this?
Always.
Look at your asking.
Who are you asking?
Look at you're asking.
Can I? I've been researching my tattoo, so I mean, I'm
oh
gonna have
God.
Something to
All
hold
right.
up soon.
We gotta move
whoa.
On.
Also,
yeah.
I think Multiple Man, Jamie Maddox, would be part of Ocean's Heist.
Oh.
Your whole Ocean's team is right there. Yes. Like Jamie
great.
Maddox right there. And there's your Matt Damon.
Oh my God.
Jamie Maddox, Matt Damon. Yeah.
I should
That's
quit the show right now. That
That's
I'm
really
embarrassed
good.
That I didn't think, because he's a top five hero for
Jamie
me.
Maddox.
Yeah.
How did I not?
Maddox
I'm just
is
saying.
Such a
I'm the
girl.
Worst host ever that I didn't think. Oh,
Matt Damon.
One of my favorite characters should be in this movie.
I'm just
he's
saying.
Perfect for it.
And,
yeah.
It's kind of Ocean-y. It's right there. There's that flavor.
I'm an idiot. I'm a freaking idiot.
I'll take
All
20
right.
Matt Damons running around helping Channing Tatum
oh
do a
Oh, my God. Channing Tatum and Matt Damon? But 20 of Matt Damons?
Yes.
All right. Skibbity bopping on before I throw this pin on my neck for not
He's
thinking about that.
So many daydreams the rest of the show.
Oh, my God. X-Men director Matthew Vaughn wants to reboot the Fantastic Four, but here's the deal. First of all, yes.
Mm-hmm, please.
Can we just hire a person to say yes for the rest of their life? Because that's how many yeses I want this to get.
Can we hire a person that wants to do Fantastic Four instead of someone that wants to do a movie that has the Fantastic Four in it?
Yeah.
That's
or
the
do
difference.
We want them to just kind of forget about Fantastic Four and then it reverts back to Marvel in 2020?
But no,
never
that's,
I know, but wouldn't
Markia,
that be great?
That's what I want. That's what I
wouldn't
want.
That be great?
But we don't always get what we want. So yeah. The next best thing is Matthew Vaughn doing.
I mean, if we
a
try
Fantastic Four film,
you just might
okay.
find
oh my God.
What we need.
I was like, I'm not going to do it, but then
they mistakenly Corey let us have some other things back, and we turned it into awesome, like a Daredevil
yep, like
2012.
Daredevil. Yep. 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 Yeah. And Ego, the Living Planet, which they also strangely
they
have.
They gave to us.
I hear this character, Spider-Man, when was co-run,
yeah,
was the highest grossing superhero movie of the year.
Yeah.
So maybe Marvel
maybe,
does things well.
Maybe
but,
Marvel knows what they're doing.
Oh,
yeah, it's weird.
What
it's
a
weird.
Concept.
It's weird.
Sony still got the money, Fox. Sony still got the money.
So yeah, Fox, listen up. They still got the money. And they didn't have to do all the work. They just had to distribute
what
it. Marvel did the work.
What a crazy idea.
Marvel was like, please just let us do
let
it right.
Us care.
Please.
Let
us
care for you.
Please let us have our first family back, the thing that started off the Silver Age.
But Matt Vaughn, his directing style, his like
Perfect.
Crazy amount of characters,
mm-hmm,
his like
mm-hmm.
all of his movies feel like a family and team because he and Guy Ritchie
yeah.
too. Like
mm-hmm.
those are my two boys for team movies. I would love that.
So here's the deal. Here's the catch though. It feels like he wants to do it as an apology tour. Because he was one of the producers behind Trank's Fantastic Four. So the way he says it is the other one I felt an and this is him doing press for Kingsman Golden Circle. The other one I felt an obligation to do is I wouldn't mind maybe making a Fantastic Four film to apologize to everyone out there that maybe it didn't go very well for them. And then he goes on to say, Fantastic Four is brilliant. One of my favorites is the Fantastic Four, so maybe one day I'll try to rectify that mistake. And that was the Cinema Blend. So,
yeah.
Matthew Vaughn,
like
please do it.
You kind of just have to forgive people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still in the process of forgiving Joss Whedon for having any part of Aliens 4. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, right?
You guys are both blowing my mind. And
David Fincher, Alien 3. I just think about it every so often. I like think of how much I love David Fincher. I remember Alien 3 happened, and he killed the cast that was amazing in an Alien.
How
like,
do you do that? How do you kill them in like cryo
let, yeah.
sleep
not,
after
not
you've
thing,
just spent all that time?
Loving
it's like,
them.
How do you do that?
He's a nihilist. The whole movie's about nihilism, but it just doesn't work.
Just, no.
Well, you also wrecked the franchise by doing that, too.
Yeah. It's the problem.
It's like breaking everyone else's toys.
It's like sweeping this desk. Forget
yeah.
this.
It's like everyone's
I'll
over here like...
I'll put my things out, and then I just
yeah.
put a pin.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like,
it's
everyone's having so much fun playing with these toys, and then he's like, oh, hey guys, what if we played with the toys like this? Smash, 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 smash.
Ooh, Pedro Pascal is Phantom X. I like that.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Tesla,
he's
good call.
Great.
Good. Oh, that's
he's
a solid
good.
Call. Oh,
mm-hmm.
man. I have a crush on him.
I know. Who wouldn't? He's fantastic. I've met him in real life. He's a really great person.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear.
He's a good person.
He seems like he'd be a good guy.
Yeah.
Full of jolly and cheer.
He's jolly. He's kind of mischievous.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a fun person.
Some jolly mischievous kicks. Good for him.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Runaways real quick now that we're very quickly running out of time. Runaways. So a Redditor. Again, this is a bit of a rumor mill, but that's okay. Runaways. Brian Vaughn, who created the Runaways, was at a convention doing a book signing in New York. This is a Redditor who said this. Mm-hmm. Very nice guy. I asked him about the Runaways TV show. He says he has had input and visited the set, and that Old Lace is definitely included in all her dinosaur-y goodness, and he thinks they did her justice. And this Redditor says, now I'm really anticipating the show. I think that's exciting.
That's great.
So they can afford a dinosaur, but Netflix and ABC and IMAX couldn't afford hair.
Oh. Yep.
Well, they said that there was a lot of stuff with the hair, but all of it sounds like excuses.
To be fair, we've been doing dinosaur effects since the early 90s.
Do you think
Jurassic
it makes
Park.
That big of a difference?
No, I'm being ironic.
Have you seen Final Fantasy, like, Spirits Within? That hair was so much better. And that was in 99, 2001 era.
Do you remember the guy that, like, created that? He actually wanted to, like, make her as an actor that you would use in other things. Yeah.
Oh.
It was that good.
Yeah. Wow. And here we are, a decade and a half later,
arguing
not
about
making hair.
Hair.
Marvel Hair News continues. Check her Instagram.
Marvel Hair News.
This is just one of those shows.
Well, it's because the news is also light again 2 weeks in a row, so we have time for hair news.
We have those.
I think Aunt Anthony's got jokes.
live read.
Our sponsor, Inhuman.
Oh my god, if they are.
Can you imagine? I wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to straight face. Yeah. I actually love moving watches, so I can do it.
Okay. All right, good to know. So
this is our last show.
Yeah, probably so.
I mean, they pay us so much. So by all means.
All right, New Mutants. So this is, I'm excited. I am legitimately excited about this description. What?
I'm still entertained by the Inhumans thinking they have a show.
We can't say that! let's see. Stacy Snyder, CEO Stacy Snyder at 20th Century Fox, is quoted from. Let's see. I think this is on Deadline. I can't remember. Hold on. Okay, let's see what this is. All right, we'll figure that out in a second. Good work. Great effort has been put into making sure New Mutants is differentiated, and she's referencing to Logan, all the X-Men films, and Deadpool. She says, great effort has been put into making sure they're differentiated. New Mutants is about these teenagers who are just coming into their powers. It's like watching mutants go through adolescence and they have no impulse control, so they're dangerous.
Mm, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
The only solution is to put them in a Breakfast Club detention cuckoo's nest institutional setting. It protects the people on the outside, but it's strange and combustible inside. It goes on to say, the genre is like a haunted house movie with a bunch of hormonal teenagers. We haven't seen it as a superhero movie whose genre is more like The Shining than we're teenagers, let's save the world.
Oh, great.
So
how exciting is this?
That's the best way to actually pitch a show without giving anything away. Because you're describing the tone, you're describing the characters, you're describing, like, you're referencing other very classic things. You get imagery and feel, but you're also not sacrificing the core of the comic. Like,
yeah.
The Fox Universe, like, sidebar is incredible. Like, Deadpool, Logan, all the things that aren't X titles are great. So New Mutants sounds like they have that same sense of, we can be riskier, it's a little less, like, high stakes, the budget's gonna be a little smaller. When they let their characters and creators do this, we win.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. But the problem with Apocalypse was it was a mainstream title, and they had to follow the storyline, and they had, like, too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I want more small, like, $50 million, like, this sounds like they actually care.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds... And, like, the fact that it's, like, Breakfast Club, Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Like, these kids, like, stuck inside of this institution, and the fact that they're, like, it's hormonal and all that other stuff, it's just, like, there's a drama, and, like, there's relationships that are falling apart, and, like, young love, and, like, on top of, oh, I turn into a werewolf, and I hate myself for it because my Christian God would not have... Like, like with Ronnie Sinclair. Like, it's just like, oh my God, there's so much going on in that, and I'm really excited for it. So
it's just such a smart quote, and it's also, if that's the way the movie is shaped, then we're gonna have a new type of genre. Like, we've had the we've had the John Hughes side with Spider-Man, but we haven't had the Carey side.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of like the other side of like the dark Stephen King world of the 80s. Yeah. That's a great.
No, this is like,
call, Fox.
Yeah, like, especially because Stephen King is super hot right now.
Yeah,
Stephen King, so hot right now.
Super hot right now.
What, is it Mugatu?
Was it
Zoolander?
Oh, Mugatu, Zoolander.
Mugatu, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was like, am I saying that right? Mugatu. All right, let's move on to Infinity War super duper fast. Let's see what this is. Gwyneth Paltrow, whether she meant to or not, has confirmed that War Machine is in Avengers 4.
You know, there's a lot of characters. I imagine it's hard to know what you're not supposed to say. Mm-hmm, not to give too much credit to any direction, but whoa.
So here, but here's, like, now, in the past, if someone had said, like, oh, Gwyneth Paltrow confirmed that War Machine is in Infinity War. Oh, well, yeah, of course he is. But now that it's Avengers 4, and like, because Infinity War is such... That is a chopping block.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a massive chopping block. So anytime we hear that someone else is in the movie in Avengers 4...
Then we know that somebody else that dies.
Yeah. Or, like, but here's the deal. Like, maybe they're just, like, throwing this all out there because we don't know how Infinity War actually ends. For all we know, like, yeah, they're in the fourth Avengers film, but is it an alternate universe? Did all of them die and they're all in the Soul World? Like, is it Battle World?
It's
like,
going to be Battle World.
God, that would be amazing, right?
It's going to be.
Like,
it has to be.
Like, how...
I confirm
cool.
it.
Oh, you confirm. Markia confirms.
That is hashtag
Markia confirms.
Markia
confirms. Kia confirms.
She got that four script. She's just sitting on it right now. She's ready.
Just sitting on it. She's like, she's actually
seen
sitting
Black
on
Panther
it.
Trailer. Yep. Has had Avengers 4. It's crazy.
There you go. So, it's weird the way the universe works.
Would you want it to be called Avengers Secret Wars or Avengers Battle World?
Oh, I'd want it to be called Secret Wars.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah,
right?
Secret Wars is the way to go. I mean, especially Infinity War, Secret War. Like, there's so many.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then have that Captain Marvel that coming in, like, in between, right? In between those?
Yep.
Yeah, that works
and
so
cool.
Perfectly.
I really think, and I think we've even said this on our show, I really think that it is probably going to be a Secret Wars thing, but it's going to be in the quantum realm.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then you could, I mean, you could have my retroactive Venom thing work if you do it within the next 5 years.
Nope.
I'm dreaming.
If
she's got the Avengers 4 script, I've got retroactive Venom, okay?
Bro, dreamer's got a dream. I get that.
Very
but
important to me.
Dreams don't necessarily
that's
come true.
That's why they delayed it for 2 months. Not because of crew, it's because they took my idea, rewrote the script.
Uh-huh. That's probably
thanks,
so. That's probably so. Anyway, Gwyneth Paltrow talking to, I believe, the Hollywood Reporter about her company. She has like a sort of lifestyle company. Mm-hmm. Speaking about that, in her interview, she said, I went to Atlanta to do Avengers 4. So I'm in and out for all of that. And it's weird to go back and forth. We're growing, her company's growing fast, balls are dropping all the time. But honestly, I was on set and thought, you sit here for 2 hours sipping tea, Robert Downey Jr. and Don Cheadle are making me laugh hysterically. Why the hell did I give this up?
I mean, it's a very understandable slip.
It is an understandable slip, but again...
It's a big one.
Maybe it's a flashback. Maybe it's an alternate universe. Well, we've seen the pictures from set where it appears that Robert Downey Jr. and Pepper Potts are getting married with Happy Hogan. They're like...
Oh, yeah. Maybe they were just filming... Like, the wedding scene comes into play in the fourth one. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, how much time are we going to have for flashbacks with this, you know,
that's
kind of thing?
Exactly. So,
I'm thinking it's just going to be like Iron Man and War Machine die.
You think they die?
In the third film? I think that they would probably kill War Machine.
Yeah, right?
I mean...
See, I think they're going to kill Iron Man. Like, if they're going to kill any of them, they have to kill Iron Man. Like, the dude is like...
I think they're going to paralyze Spider-Man, and they're going to kill Iron Man.
They're going to...
Spider-Man?
What? Yeah.
How?
Well, there's ways to paralyze.
No, but why would they? They've just started a franchise.
I'm going from the trailer teaser or stuff that we saw, and you saw Spider-Man laying on the ground, and it looked like he could not move, and he was apologizing profusely to Iron Man.
Yeah.
I think, you know, something happened. Maybe his back got
broken
or something.
I don't think that he's hurt. I think something happened where, like, Pepper got taken away, or, like, he was trying to, like, Iron Man was over here, Spider-Man sees Pepper under threat, he's like, I've got her! Thanos gets her, Corvus Glaive, whoever. That's, or Happy Hogan for all. Like, I think it's more like those lines. I don't think that it's Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think it's something happened to him.
Yeah?
Because I think that's more devastating.
Well, let's...
Especially
let's,
because he's so agile.
Yeah. That would be pretty devastating. And, like, with Thanos, everything, like, again, like, with Thanos, it's tricky because he's got the Infinity Gauntlet. He can rewrite whatever, you know? So, like, It's tricky because it's like
everyone dies.
He kills everyone, but then like Nebula gets the glove and transports all of them to Battle World, which is in the quantum realm somewhere, and they all fight there in the fourth movie, trying to find their way out. And that's where they're like, Captain Marvel's here; she can help us out.
Ooh.
That's kind of like that's my guess. Is they actually run across her?
Another reason why
I think
something happened to Spider-Man as opposed to another character is because about like with Civil War, like just the parallel of it, like when Spider-Man he was just exhausted. And he's like, oh no, I'm good. And he's like, no, sit back down. You're good, buddy. He's like, oh okay, I'm just gonna lay here.
Yeah.
Just because of that parallel too.
Okay, that would be a fun parallel. All right. Well, speaking of characters that are returning, Sebastian Stan, who plays the Winter Soldier, Skadoosh, this guy. Sorry everybody, that's my paper. I can't remember who. Says I still haven't read the script for this next one, for the fourth one. All I know is I'm going down there in October. That's all I know.
That's how you make a statement. Smart man, so, Sebastian Stan.
So he's
Smart man, Sebastian Stan.
Now go eat some green eggs and ham.
Assonance.
Assonance. All right. Yeah, it's called assonance. The vowels are the same.
We've got the grammar news today.
I was an English major.
Drop more grammar knowledge.
All right. So here's the deal on this next one. I'm just going to admit it. I forgot to write all this stuff down. But let's take a look at the image because I do have some knowledge of it. So there's a rumor going out, and comicbook.com reported this, so I can't steal it. I've got to give credit where credit's due, but they wrote about it. I think there was someone on Reddit who was dissecting this, saying that this poster might give away certain elements of the film. Mm-hmm. And by that, he means we've got Captain America, Falcon, Black Widow, Scarlet Witch, and Vision all bathed in the yellow light. So does that mean that they're all fighting together and that they're all fighting to protect that stone or get that stone?
Interesting. That's
Now here's my question. Well, what is the yellow one? Because I can't remember.
Green they have as the time stone now, right?
Green is the time stone.
It's the time stone. Do you see Doctor Strange in there?
Yeah, so Doctor Strange is under the green in the very, very back. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
behind
well then
Mantis.
That confirms your theory right there then.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thinking. He's back there with
Vision had the Mind
Vision
Stone.
Vision had the Mind Stone, which
so
was yellow.
That's
got to
be Mind Stone then.
Okay, perfect. Vision okay, Mind Stone? Yeah, he's got the Mind Stone, and that's yellow.
I wish our screen was lighter.
I know, right? And we see Vision and Scarlet Witch together, and we know that Black Widow, Falcon, and Captain America would no doubt also probably be together.
Mm-hmm.
Then Doctor Strange, we know from set photos and videos that he was teaming up with Iron Man at some point. The interesting thing there is that Gamora, Mantis, and Nebula are also there.
Right.
So that would mean like they team up in New York and Manhattan, going to the Sanctum Sanctorum with Doctor Strange to protect the Time Stone from getting into the hands of Ebony Maw, whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you tell me who's on the top right?
Right is Hulk, Hawkeye, Winter Soldier, War Machine, Black Panther, and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay. And they are in what light?
Space.
Yeah,
space.
It's just so like the top is space. It kind of looks a little purpley on the left hand side when
it's
you know it has Loki. Has Loki
yeah, there's
and
no tinge of color on the right.
And Groot.
Is it possible that the other side is blue?
Blue on space maybe kind of
yeah.
looks purple.
Because the Earth is surrounded with blue, and that's the space stone.
And there's a tinge of red over Star-Lord, which is reality, right?
Like, yeah, that's the reality stone.
So Drax, Rocket, and Star-Lord.
Oh man, do you think Star-Lord gets a hold of the reality stone?
He can hold it for a second.
Oh. Right?
He wants to do some crazy stuff.
Think about it. And Guardians of the Galaxy 2, when he realized that he could, like, make anything out of the planet, you know, then you saw, like, that giant Pac-Man.
Yeah, he's played with reality
already. If he gets a hold of the reality stone, he already kind of has some experience with that.
Alyssa Milano is going to be involved.
Oh, my God.
For sure.
But here's
they're
going
to have to do a call back to that.
Here's kind of a trip to that is, did he lose that power when Ego went away?
He did, but the ability to hold, we don't know if that's like
in his DNA. That's what I'm suggesting. Is that in his DNA, or was that intrinsically
part of the god power?
Yeah,
and then you know with that we'll kind of have to see. I mean, it might be something that can be regenerated within himself, because if Ego's gone, then it's like maybe he is the next Ego. He just needs the time.
He just needs the time.
Also, we don't know if Ego is saying that to protect himself.
Exactly.
Like, Ego could have just been like, you'll lose your power, don't hurt me. Like,
don't hurt me, yeah.
We obviously, that's a big assumption and kind of a deus ex machina, but we'll see.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, so, so does it look purpley over on the left? right?
Yeah.
It looks a little purpley to me, and that's the Power Stone, right? And that's and who's on the left side?
It makes sense for Loki to be over there.
Thor and Loki, and who else? Where are Rocket and Groot? Where are they in this?
They're in the red. Well, Rocket.
They're like right next to Star-Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Groot is standing above them. I know our screen's a little.
Yeah,
our
screen's a little. Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody. We're like, watch us TV. but yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting theory, which is the whole reason I threw it up there, and then I forgot to write it all down. So I was like, I'm just going to have to parse it live. Do it live!
Do it live!
Doing things live.
Yeah. Watch us think live on TV! Yeah, I thought that was cool. And it makes total sense to me. This is how they would team up, and there's still no hint of the Soul Stone.
Which one was Black Panther? Like which one was he?
I believe
he's top right.
Yeah, but Nexus, and
according to the trailer that they showed in Comic-Con, Winter Soldier is standing next to soldiers in Wakanda.
Cool. Okay.
So that measures up too. If Black
Panther and him are together.
Cool.
Yeah. And it makes Hulk sense because he's
in Wakanda.
He's in Wakanda. Yeah.
They're like a land army. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, and I remember seeing Hulk too, but maybe I'm misremembering it just because I'm mixing up with Thor, but I seem to remember seeing Hulk in Wakanda as well. So,
what's the new name of Black Dwarf again? Supernova or something?
No. Coal Obsidian.
I'll remember one day.
Yeah. It's not Black Dwarf because that's a little.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's just like Manape. It's not. Yeah. It's not necessary.
Not necessary. You know?
Yeah. It's still the same character.
Well, and Black Dwarf is a celestial object, and that's how Jonathan Hickman meant it. But
no, but still,
you know,
yeah,
homonyms.
It doesn't do anything for us to just rename
something. Call Obsidian is a cool.
It's actually
cool
pretty
name.
Cool.
That's a pretty cool name. All right, let's leave this behind. Let us know your theories. Evangeline Lilly spotted in full Wasp costume. We've seen her before standing in front of a chalkboard. But now we see her in her helmet, and it is perfect and exciting. And we can also see right behind her, we see that little bitty sliver of wing there.
That's cool.
That's cool. I love this picture because, like, if you can zoom in on it, you can see, like, her eyes are wide. And it's just so funny to see her wide eyes through the helmet because, like...
She's having
not a superhero moment right now, just like walking with this lady who's holding a fan to cool her off, and she's probably having like, a discussion about like what they did this weekend. Like, my kids were adorable, and we went and did this, and we went to the play park, and it was super, super fun. Oh, you should have been there. But like, it's just like, what's going on that helmet? So, anyway, improv. Also, we have a new set of photos revealing the Wasp in action. It's kind of hard to see what she's doing, but she's on a trailer, and she's reaching her hand out. This is most likely going to be a giant special effects thing because we've got one more picture, I think, of her like on the trailer.
I like how the costume looks just like without augmentation. Like I know they'll tweak it in, you know, on the screen, but it's cool that it looks that great just like casually walking around.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. And then last bit of news before we get to, the Punisher is, Fox CEO addresses Logan's Oscar potential. This is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot to say about it, but in the same interview where she was talking about New Mutants and everything, she mentioned they asked her Logan's Oscar possibilities. Does it deserve it? Are you excited to put it up? And she said, absolutely. The way Logan combines classic storytelling with superhero lore is brilliant. According to Deadline, Fox has never been so aggressive in sending its awards, in ascending of award screeners.
Mm-hmm. It's super early to get award screeners.
Like, it's super early to get the screeners, but B, according to Deadline, Fox is like, you got to nominate this. Like, we're sending it to everybody.
This is really good.
You know what? I don't disagree. Yeah, and, I don't disagree. It's a brilliant film.
I think Sir Patrick Stewart deserves four of them. I mean, he needs at least four.
Yeah. He was great. Like, Logan, like, I mean, he was great.
Saying,
but like,
that doesn't take anything away from anybody else. I'm just saying that.
He was great.
Patrick Stewart, it was gorgeously done. It's like acerbic wit along with vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And then he had Alzheimer's. He was a psychic. He's like the psychic. He's the psychic.
And he played it so well. He played it so well. Tragic.
I want him to get like best actor, best supporting. Best makeup and most likely to succeed.
Best writer,
so
yeah, most likely to succeed.
Those are the four he gets.
Patrick Stewart is the most likely to succeed in our class. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. He's already got huge success, but he's the most likely to succeed more. Yeah.
Exactly. And also most likely to become president. So he gets five.
And for those of you outside of Hollywood who don't know what we're really talking about with screeners, a lot of times what studios will do is if they feel that they have a film that is worthy of being nominated for an Oscar or a Golden Globe or whatever else, they will send free copies of that video in DVD format or in digital link to all the members of that voting board. So if you're a member of the Academy, you get every movie pretty much for free.
They started doing Blu-ray last year. I was stoked.
Yeah, yeah. And they do that because, like, you don't always have time to leave the house. Mm-hmm. And they're asking you to vote on a movie that maybe you have to pay to go see. And it's like, no, you don't have to. Don't pay for it. Here's a copy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a whole lot easier to review things when you get to go see the movie or the thing for free.
They usually do like really cool screenings where the cast comes to talk. And they do like Q&As and they have this whole big push right before the Oscars. And it's amazing. It's a good time to be.
Yep, yep.
So anyway, let's move on to The Punisher. Let's do that.
Let's
watch. Can we watch this trailer, Anthony? Is that possible?
Of course, of course.
And for all of you at home and on the podcast, please don't forget, we have to talk over this for
legal reasons. Able to even
so
show
don't,
it.
So don't get too annoyed with us for talking over this, we have to.
And then plus, you can also view it online.
Yeah, so. Go watch it online after this, so you know what we're talking about. Anyway, play it. So here we see Frank with his, and I love that juxtaposition, but he's with his daughter and he's playing the guitar and then it disappears and he's by himself. The
carousel.
The carousel, yeah. Classic trope. You got to have the carousel. Mm-hmm. Now this is a dream, right? Like, this has to be a dream sequence.
I think this has to be a nightmare that he's having.
Yeah, because like, that's not how, like, she was murdered on the carousel, right?
So, right,
yeah.
And we saw that.
Yeah, we saw that.
And then also, that was a question David at DavidMcCall67 had. Yes, killed on the carousel. So yeah. You know.
Good work, David. Here we see him spray painting his vest, sharpening a knife. I will say, I love the use of sound here, of the gun, like, kind of going in the beat, you know? I love that line. He's like, kill on sight. He goes, with pleasure. Like, he's like, he's on their comms. Like, oh, Castle's going to get him. Now, I will say the music choice is a little on the nose.
I mean, when you can get Metallica, you get Metallica.
But I'm on board. I'm on board with them using Metallica for this.
Oh, I'm on board, but like, it is a little on the nose. Not in a bad way, just... Okay, so I think that's important. Like, he was part of a covert CIA operation, and now everyone's after him, right? Homeland and FBI. Everybody's part of this. Oh. Did you see the blood on the door?
Yeah, we saw Karen Page. It was Karen Page.
There was
right?
so much. Yeah, Karen Page. Yeah. Oh, this is the first time we see Micro, played by Eben Moss Bachrach, I believe is the name.
Right.
That sniper shot is amazing. So we got Ben Barnes playing Billy Russo before he becomes Jigsaw. That's our first appearance of him. Right. This is awesome.
Walking away from an explosion that he caused.
I love the use of the sun in that shot. The directing in this is so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of fun with blood splatter in this.
Yeah, this shot, like, he's so mad. Oh, Punisher's upset.
And I like how the John Bernthal roar ties into the Metallica roar. Like, yeah. I really like the use of sound mixing in this trailer.
Frank Castle's back.
Yeah, he's back. I love this last bit.
Okay, this bit I love.
Just looked like
the work of a dead man.
Boom!
Yes, sassy detective.
Sassy detective.
Love sassy detective. You got to see him once. Mm-hmm. You saw him once in Daredevil, and then like they never brought him back again. Yeah. Wait, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
It's like, this is perfect. This guy's perfect.
Yeah, he's so good, and I'm excited to see him actually do this whole thing.
I'm excited to see how the show feels compared to the comic, because the comic has had so many different like writers and so many different flavors. This feels like a good streamline through, because Punisher's hard because he's been canceled and restarted in different writers, different teams.
Yeah.
But the character himself, if you do it right, like that could be great.
Yeah. All right, we've got a few minutes here. Let's go through this. Do you have like favorite moments? Do you have like theories of like what's going on? Like, what are you thinking?
Besides Sassy Detective, who I hope he's in more than one scene.
Yeah, and
because
he
survive. He's such a great voice of the audience for things, but he does it in such a snazzy way, and I just really love that. I just want more of that, because it's a really nice juxtaposition when it comes to just the devastation of Punisher, and then you have like this guy like, but you think he's dead? This looks like the work of a dead man to you.
Yeah,
great.
Did a ghost do this?
Yeah, I enjoy that. I enjoy with that moment that we had with Jigsaw. Mm-hmm. I hope he goes full Jigsaw.
I've got a theory.
Oh, do you... Will you sing it?
Yeah, do you want me to sing it, really?
No, because Ollie would have gotten that. It was a Buffy reference.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. I don't get references. I'm not very funny.
It's fine. But with Jigsaw, you have a theory.
I do. So here's what I think is going on. in every other Netflix show that we've ever seen, they always show bits of the entire season, mm-hmm. but the plot that they focus on is the first plot. But it always changes sometime between episodes 5 and 7, right? The middle of the season.
Are you thinking Jigsaw's the second?
Jigsaw's the second part.
Nice.
Jigsaw's the second part. I think that the covert CIA operation was being done in connection with crime families in America in mm-hmm. some capacity. Mm-hmm. Castle finds out about it. He and Micro both become whistleblowers on separate sides of it. Or on both on the same side of, like, hey, this is messed up, but, like, from two perspectives. Right.
One has their family, the other doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, he's got the tech side of it. Castle has actual on-site, I saw this. Mm-hmm. I'm an eyewitness to what you're saying mm-hmm. from the digital files, from that side of it, right? So Micro's more of a hacker. They both come together to, like, expose, like, the government and, like, their role in this covert CIA operation with bad guys. And Ben Barnes as Billy Russo is a part of that side of it. And he starts getting mixed up in the Castle stuff. Castle ends up jigsawing him sometime around episode 6 or 7. And then he's the bad guy for the rest of the series. And, like, the CIA thing is handled. But now it's like, but you're the one who is really behind it. Yeah.
I think
that's my theory.
Well, that makes sense, and I want the villains to not feel so 1-2, and that would tie them into the whole season. Mm-hmm. That would tie mm-hmm. them into, like, the background, and, like, that's when it works. When it yeah. feels like 1-2, it doesn't have the same. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah, and I like that second major villain being somebody that the hero made into that villain, as opposed right. to clunky flashbacks.
Yeah.
Diamondback. You know,
I've got a brother. His like, name is Billy Russo.
He was like, what? Wait, what? No. What? I'm pulling the ripcord. I'm out of here.
Parachute out.
It's like, it's too much.
I think the best part of the trailer for me was that it felt hectic.
Yeah.
It felt mm-hmm. like frenetic energy. It felt like chaos. It felt like stress. It felt like anxiety.
Yeah.
And that's the Punisher. Like, when you do the Punisher wrong, it's just a violent guy that's doing something because he likes killing. When you do the Punisher right, it's a guy who can't control how upset he is about something that happened to him and how he doesn't know what reality is and how he thinks he's doing the right thing. But his mind is stress and anxiety and chaos. And that trailer with that music and that frenetic energy and that violence captured that for me. So if the show is that kind of like, it's going to be hard to watch in the best way. And that's the Punisher. Yeah. You don't want it to be easy. You don't want it to be enjoyable.
It's a good thing that they have John Bernthal.
Oh my
God. It's a really good thing that they have him for Punisher. That's going to make a big difference. But just watching that trailer just makes me want to watch Warzone.
Oh my God, I haven't seen that. I've got to go back and watch that before this. The part that I'm interested in seeing is how all of that is wrapped up in the murder of his family.
Right.
That's the mm-hmm. that's the puzzle piece that I'm like, all right, well, that I can guess on a lot of the other stuff, and I think it's pretty solid guesswork based mm-hmm. on what we've seen come before, if I do say so myself. But the family thing, it just like throws me for a loop. Like, when he's like, what do you know about my family? Like, that's immediately followed with, I was part of a CIA covert operation. And she's right. like, what is, huh? Did the CIA hire the mafia to kill your family?
They might have covered it up.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely something that makes him go after both sides. And that's what it involves his family.
Yeah. Like, it could be something like the guy that went after his family is also going to turn evidence for the CIA. Yeah. So therefore, the CIA has to make, you know, Frank Castle just kind of,
yeah.
you know, be like, hey, we know that really sucks about your family, but this is more important kind of a thing. And he's like, no, it's not. I will take you. I will burn this to the ground.
I'm burning the ground. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an exciting trailer. We're all very, why are they not giving us a release date?
I like it, man. I kind of actually dig it. One day and be like, oh, good. Or have 100,000 people tweet me and be like, oh, better.
Yeah.
I love the moment.
It's like, tweet us when it comes
out. It's going to happen. Yeah. You know, we're going to be like doing something and all of a sudden our Twitter's going to blow up. We're going to be like, it's time. I love that because I've never had that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. And I think that's like starting, like it's a weird word of mouth, like campaign. Like it's weird, right? Like I love it though.
You can't. Netflix is the only place that's viable to actually have a crazy mic drop moment like that. Why not?
Well, and what's interesting is Stranger Things was almost that.
That's cool.
Like, Stranger Things, like, a month before, they're like, here's a trailer. And then, like, that was the first time we'd ever heard of it. And I remember seeing the trailer a month before. I'm like, what? And then a couple weeks later, finding out when the release date was. And I was like, oh, it's in 2 weeks? What in the world? And, like, it took off from there. So, like,
because Netflix has a word of mouth that's crazy. The Defenders is already going to have a tie-in.
Yeah.
And there's already people interested in The Punisher. Like, this is the best possible show to be like, here.
Yeah.
And let the internet go crazy.
On top of all that, it seems to be relatively in theme.
Oh, yeah.
Also, absolutely. You know, so.
Everything redacted ties in. I think it's brilliant. I hope I don't find out until it's on. I really want to just, like, have Netflix happen.
All right. Do we have some Marvelites that we can talk to real quick? We got about 5 minutes, six minutes.
We do. I did grab a couple of things. And so it's not going to be a long shout out list because it's basically just writing by hand. I'm like, no, it's okay, these two will do. So Elanji Rosario at Elanji underscore R and Low Rosario at Low Rosario. And the only reason why I chose those two is because I was going to say no relation. Like Animaniacs. Perfect. And then shout out to Daniel Drew at Jedi Time saying, go ahead and check out his Twitter. He is very much into collecting comics and everything. And he tags us on those. So we get to see all of his comic news and everything from, like, he has Wonder Woman, DC to Marvel stuff, and including his special edition Infinity Eggs that were, well, it's Infinity Stones. So they look like Infinity Eggs. So you can check those out. And we already answered the question from David. Oh, Eddie Brock at Gonzo underscore 7792. Thanks for the recommendation of Son of Shaolin. Probably take a look at that. Brian Trotter is just a comment at 40-some geek. Oh my God, the Punisher trailer is amazing. I'm going to binge watch the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Brian sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You've talked to him on the phone regularly.
Yes,
yep.
Yes. Including, so that's that. And then AJ Fairnot at Cad Bane 1996. Patrick Stewart needs to be nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I agree.
Totally agree.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I think there's a lot of people that will agree with you for that. And Bobby Hutchinson at Hutchinson 911. I wish that I could get this picture out for everybody to see on the show, but I did just retweet it on Twitter. He sent a picture of this. It's the tiniest little Wolverine.
Oh, it's so cute. I just retweeted it.
It is the tiniest little Wolverine with the hairline and the claws. I'll show it to Matt Key so y'all can see his reaction.
Oh, that is adorable. What convention is that at? Do we know?
I don't know. It's got to be like a costume. That was a response to our show for like, hey, watch it now. Oh,
that is cute.
That is super cute. So look at that on our Twitter.
That's real, real cute.
And then Robert Lima at Rob World Eater, he sent us a really nice thing because last week he was going into a second interview for something, job, and he was, you know.
I hope he got it.
Yeah.
Did he get it?
He goes, thanks for the well wishes, Marquia and Koi. I got the job.
Yes.
Second time watching live now. 2.5 years listening in audio.
Oh,
so congratulations!
Give him that Marvel bump.
You got that Marvel movie news bump.
That's how you get the jobs.
Yep. That's exciting.
And then just to let everybody know that we more than likely will be starting a Patreon. And that will be in the works. We'll let you know more about that as that develops. But we want to thank Popcorn Talk for also their kind of giving us aid with that in the sense of that we can say it on the show.
Yeah.
So, look forward to that. It'll be some good stuff. We're going to add a lot of material with
that. If you have ideas, let us know.
Yeah.
Like, because we want to give the fans what they want.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And that is you.
Yeah.
I got three things real quick. One, I want to thank Sky Patterson and I want to thank all the birthday wishes. My birthday was 2 weeks ago and I'm still getting birthday stuff and it's awesome. Sky just sent me a drawing of me and Scarlet Spider. Dope.
Nice.
It's rad. And then in the live chat, someone just mentioned a story that I wanted to bring up. Ayrton, I think that's how you pronounce your name. One of the Ant-Man stunt doubles is an amputee.
I know. That's
the coolest thing.
I love that.
Like, it's great. I just love that. Just look it up. It's amazing. I love that Marvel. Yes.
Yeah.
And finally, tomorrow's my mom's birthday.
Aww.
Oh, Stephanie.
And you guys
happy
all know
birthday.
Her. And she's the greatest. So I want to wish a very happy, happy birthday to my mother from the internet.
Yeah. If you want to give her a really nice birthday present, buy her book, Amethyst.
Oh, Amethyst.
On Amazon.
So on Amazon.
It's by Stephanie
Genre. My last name, but with Stephanie in front of it on Amazon.
And that's a PH, not an F.
That is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, we got this.
And my birthday is on Sunday.
No way.
What? Yeah. Why do you tell us these things like last minute?
Because he now knows we can't sneak anything on him because he's like, it's Sunday. We could have had a whole Doctor Strange room built. We could have built like
the Sanctum Sanctorum. We
could have had it all sanctum.
I guess we'll just have to do with giving you a sexy birthday shout out.
On Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Or now? Do you want to go for it?
Do we want to do Tuesday? I'm going to watch this. What? It would be you too.
You guys can do it next Tuesday.
We'll do it next Tuesday because then we'll have Ollie too. Yeah. We'll give you the full love boat.
Yeah, I need the dream boat in here too.
Yeah.
All right. So this is gonna be awkward. But I'm going to do this. All right?
Do it.
Yay. So we have a number of sponsors. Uh-huh. And this is
all right. Support for this podcast comes from, I'm just going to read it.
Yes.
And we can talk about it for a second, because we got about 5 minutes left.
Cool.
Okay.
Support for this podcast comes from the astonishing new television saga, Marvel's Inhumans. On the dark side of the moon, there exists a civilization unlike anything you've ever seen before. People with extraordinary powers and abilities that make them more than human. They are inhuman. Meet Black Bolt, the king. The sound of his voice can destroy a city. Medusa, the queen, whose hair is a living weapon. And Lockjaw, the giant bulldog, who teleports the royal families from planet to planet. But now, treachery in the form of Black Bolt's evil brother Maximus threatens the royal family and their kingdom. The royals are forced to escape to their true home, Earth, where the real fight for their future will begin. Join in this epic family drama as two brothers battle to claim one throne in an action-packed 8-episode event. Marvel's Inhumans, the complete series, begins with a special 2-hour premiere Friday, September 29th at 8/7 Central on ABC.
That was a very nice read.
Thank you.
I like the emphasis.
It may have come off as ironic because
no, it was very action filled.
Trying to do it like sincerely because they are a sponsor and I want to do that correctly for them.
That and Lockjaw is going to be amazing.
I can't wait for Lockjaw. Mm-hmm. I will also say that you know our opinions and it's
we've also expressed that we are more than willing to have those opinions be changed once mm-hmm. we actually see the complete series.
Which is Friday?
Is that Friday? Is it
the 28th? 29th? I'm sorry. It's the 29th. What day is it today? Where am I?
I thought the 29th was the 26th.
Today is the 26th.
Yeah, so it's this Friday.
That would make math. Yeah.
You got it.
So Friday, we get to all find out whether we were wrong and we'll be apologizing next week, or we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I'm excited to be apologizing.
Please, I would love to be apologizing.
I was wrong about the Gifted. It looks amazing now.
The Gifted looks great.
We progress, the Gifted looks better and better, so I'd like to be wrong.
Yeah, I want to be wrong. And you know what?
And we'll get to see Lockjaw because he's in every episode.
Yeah, and I want to be honest with everyone. I read through that because we didn't get this until we were on the air.
Yeah.
I read through this.
I think they planned that.
I was like, you know what? I can't have an opinion about any of these things because this is just a fact about the show. Mm-hmm. These are all just like, it's the Inhumans, it's a saga, it's action packed. Here's some characters. So there you go.
All true.
All true things.
All of those are facts.
Like if they had been like, tell everyone that our show is the most amazing show ever. I'd be like, gotta wait until next week.
I feel like
to
we
do
have
that.
To actually see it. We're to honest be able talking to give a review. Yeah.
I'm doing my best to be honest with all of this with our audience. So I don't want to be just like a shill. Like, oh no, I changed my mind. Inhumans is amazing. Like we've expressed our opinions on this before, but
mm-hmm. I'm excited to find out Friday. Inhumans.
Yeah. Show us what you got on Friday.
Watch it, and we'll all give our opinions next week.
Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday.
Along with a sexy birthday shout-out for this one.
Yeah.
So Matt, on our 150th episode, we get Inhumans review. We get Matt's sexy birthday shout-out. I'm just saying, it's a big deal. So
hey, maybe we'll have Black Panther trailer by then.
Oh, my God.
On the 150th show.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. All right.
Next week.
Yeah.
Coy, where can people find you? What are you up to?
Find me at CoyJandreau on Instagram and Twitter, and I do my own little thing on Instagram, and I'm spreading it to YouTube, and I'm trying a bunch of new stuff out, so any input you guys give, I try to reshape, and you guys are amazing, and I thank you for all that you do, and all my birthdays, my mom's birthday stuff. Thank you. Love you guys.
Markia.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. That's M-A-R-K-E-I-A M-C-C-A-R-T-Y. I can feel you look at my mouth while I'm saying
I'm
that,
sorry.
Matt.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's like, how does she say that?
Okay.
You can find me on Monday nights on the WWE Raw After Show. It's also called Wrestling Coverage Now. There is a whole new channel that's sports and wrestling that AfterBuzz TV is doing. So you actually can't go to our old page anymore to find WWE Raw After Show. You have to go to the new page. I have tweeted that out, so please check my Twitter for that link.
My name is Matt Key. You can find me at the Matt Key, T-H-E-M-A-T-T-K-E-Y. I've never spelled it before. I've just assumed that everyone knows. I mean, but maybe they don't. Maybe they don't know. It's two days. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm on the Wednesday Club over on Geek and Sundry. That's on Wednesday nights at 7 on their Twitch channel. And tomorrow night, we're actually talking about previews, like how the quarterly previews work, how like distribution works, Diamond Distribution, how comic books order their stuff, and how it used to be in the Golden and Silver Age, where it was just like on store racks, all that stuff. So we're going to kind of talk about the history of the actual business tomorrow night, which I'm actually excited about. Yeah, I actually don't know much about that, so it'll be Cool. It'll be a lot of learning for me tomorrow night. Other than that, we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.